Here's something to think about. In South Africa in 2007, 13 rhinos were killed. 7 years later, the number was almost 1,300. That jump has a lot to do with rising demand in Asia for rhino horn, coupled with the fact that rhino populations have plummeted elsewhere. So anti-poaching squads in South Africa have grown more militant. You know, guns drawn. But as Amy Bracken reports, a leader in the armed protection of rhinos now questions whether that's the right approach.
Vincent Barkas trudges through the bush to reach a rhino carcass. It's a typical morning for him.
Don't be scared. Did we want to hurt it? That's it.
Today he's telling a first-time cutter how to run an X-Acto knife through the rhino's thick skin.
That's perfect.
The stench is overpowering, but Barkas doesn't wear a face mask or gloves as he pushes his hands inside the rhino to search for the poacher's bullet.
What's that? Also 375.
Looks like it.
They find the bullet near a rib and hand it to a police officer to keep as evidence. Then it's back to base camp and on to another case. Barkas is a former soldier who decades ago started ProTrack, South Africa's first private anti-poaching security force. The company sends heavily armed men into the bush 24/7 to pursue and arrest poachers. In 2013, Barkas created a team focused exclusively on rhinos because they were disappearing fast.
Sometimes you have to have that militant approach because you're dealing with the last three or four animals that are left, you know, so you've got to hide behind your guns.
Bululi Game Reserve lost their first rhino about 7 years ago, according to Sharon Houseman, a manager of the park.
And it just escalated out of proportion from there.
In 2017, they lost 23 rhinos. They employ ProTrack to wage what she says has become an all-out war.
I don't want to sound negative and say we're going to lose the war, but I also can't with confidence say we're going to win the war.
Barkas works closely with Houseman, but he says he doesn't like the word war, and he's no longer sure it's the best way to discourage poachers.
I don't believe that the way we're currently fighting this problem is the right way. If I lived like they did, if I had the opportunities available that they have, I would be doing exactly what they're doing.
Barkas' thinking has evolved dramatically since he started ProTrack in 1992, 2 years before the end of apartheid. In the beginning, he says he believed that black poachers should be beaten and shot for killing animals. He says he viewed conservation through racist eyes.
I was a white South African brought up in apartheid. As far as I was concerned, blacks were responsible for all our problems. You know, where we put them to live, they destroyed the land. The fact that they didn't have electricity never crossed my mind. That's why they chopped the trees down. You know, things like that.
He traces his change in thinking to one experience.
We had a group of poachers before the rhino poaching. We called them the Big Five.
These hunters kept spearing warthogs for meat in a private park, and for months they eluded ProTrack. Until finally, Barkas and his men caught one of them, a grandfather.
Walking into the police station with him and charging him, I felt like stupid. I felt really, you know, all these young guys with guns, and it's taken us like 5 months to catch a 62-year-old man.
Barkas says he started asking himself questions.
What are we doing? Are we doing it correctly? What is their side? Why are they doing it? That's when I accidentally, on purpose, eventually made friends with a poacher.
Barkas reached out to a young bushmeat hunter they'd arrested in the past. He visited him, bringing beer and food, and kept coming back, getting to know his family.
Listening for the first time in my life to their side of the story, I saw, hey, these guys aren't wrong. You know, we're doing as much damage here. We've caused just as many problems here, and we're blaming them, and we're not giving them a chance to voice their opinions or listen to them, and this is where we're going wrong with conservation.
In the establishment of game parks here, beginning in the late 19th century, locals have been displaced, banned from their old hunting grounds, and shut out of wildlife tourism dollars. And the parks often don't hire locals for fear they'd report the location of animals to poachers. It's a legitimate concern, but Barkas says it seems to pit conservation efforts against the interests of the people who live nearby. What's more, every time an anti-poaching unit shoots and kills a poacher,
we turn another 30, 40 people in that community against conservation as a whole.
Vargas began to support local initiatives like community gardens, educational programs, and a big soccer tournament organized by a conservation group called Wild and Free. Some poachers distrust this kind of outreach. Others are on board. I meet with one poacher behind a restaurant near a game park. Morris, not his real name, was a low-paid park ranger when he got recruited to start poaching. He dropped out of school when his father died and was struggling to support the family. Still, he was pretty torn up the first time he killed a rhino. And by the way, we're altering his voice to protect his identity.
It was not good for me. I was feeling the pain because to kill that thing looks like to kill a person. I even pray before when we do that thing.
But the second time, he says, he was just thinking about the jackpot. It's hard to imagine Morris giving up poaching now. It's too lucrative and he has a large family. Still, he thinks community initiatives like soccer might keep someone else from starting up. People get recruited when they're idle, he says.
Because when you're sitting at home, my friend comes with the vehicle. Hey, you're sitting. What is the plan? We go somewhere. Maybe we can have money. Just for one time.
Soccer tournaments provide cash for participants, especially the winners. It's not enough to compete with the sale of a rhino horn, but maybe it can take the edge off, reducing some of the desperate need for money, Morris says. At this tournament, some fans say they think the games are reducing poaching. Barkas says that's hard to measure at this point. For him, it's mostly about building a bridge.
The soccer was actually more of a, look guys, we're here to help. We want you to trust us.
Trust might be a big ask, given the history here. But Barkas believes it's worth striving for.
To drive up to guys that 2 years ago would have been shooting at and shake hands, have a drink with him, eat a chicken, have a chat, have a laugh. I mean, that's the way forward.
Barkas still thinks guns are needed to save the rhino, but he says he's convinced the biggest impact in the long run will come from making friends with locals who might be tempted to poach. For The World, Amy Bracken, Hoedspruit, South Africa.
Read more about Vincent Barkas's anti-poaching efforts and see photos at theworld.org.